We are on the record.
Thank you, Assistant County Clerk. Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call to order this regular meeting of the Park County Board of County Commissioners to order at 3:01 p.m. on Wednesday, the 21st of January. If you're so inclined, please join me for the invocation and the pledge. Our Father and our Creator, we ask you to join us today and give your blessings and your wisdom to us as we deliberate the business of we the people. We ask for your protection from evil. We ask for your blessings for those who are traveling across our vast highways through this hard winter time. We ask you for those that are having difficulties and experiencing less than honorable times, that you bless them. You come to them and give them the comfort and the guidance they need. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to thank you and welcome everyone to this meeting. We have for the record Commissioner Kimmer, Commissioner Mitchell, Commissioner Whistle. Lucas Meyer is here at the podium. We have some folks in the audience. And we will have Nate Osterberg with us shortly, our paralegal.
Misty, what's your last name? Levitt. And Misty.
Misty Levitt from the clerk's office. Welcome. Mel Castle is at a conference, I believe, so she's learning about all kinds of new regulations on elections. So with that, we have before us a proposed agenda. Are there any corrections, additions, or amendments?
No, I move we accept the agenda as written.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second to adopt the agenda as presented. Any further discussion? Being none, call the question.
Oh, wait,
we need to add one more.
Would you like to hear this resolution?
Yes, we should.
Let's.
You want to add it to it or just talk about administrative?
I think we can. We probably should add this to the meeting if we're going to vote on it.
Yeah.
Then I withdraw my motion.
I withdraw my second.
Okay, so
I move that we amend the agenda and add under our administrative discussion discussion and or approval or deny of resolution clarifying and limiting the use of county funds for legal representation of elected officials.
Where would you like to add that?
Let's just put it before public comments. How's that?
Sounds good.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second. Let me just make the add. Okay, my records are good. We're all good. Any further discussion? Being done, we'll call the question on the revised motion. Those in favor, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Our agenda has been amended as so noted. First up, we have on our consent items, approval of vouchers and approval of prior meeting minutes. We had two different meeting minutes that we're looking at today.
I move that we approve the consent items. Minutes from January 4 and January 5.
14th and 15th.
14th and 15th. 15th was a special meeting. And vouchers, which were really looking good this week.
We have a new low, which we're very proud of. We have a total of $75,700 for the whole week. So that's probably the lightest weeks we've had.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. 3-0. Okay. We have before us consideration and or decision on the following items. Number one, just appraise contract. This is a contract that we had from our assessor that we had asked to see. We are taking a closer look at all the budget items this year. It's for a total of $19,950. And basically, as we understand it, this is a piece of software that assists her abilities to take data from recordings and put them into the computer-assisted mass appraisal system. And I have no issue with the program. When we first heard about it, I think was Well, I first heard about it in 2023. I can only say that, if it helped and they had offered to donate half a staff salary to account for this. And my question was basically one for the assessor of, I was doing some research on a property transfer for another purpose, and it was a large transaction, well over 500 acres, and I was just curious about the reality of normally when a sale goes through, it's an individual property or two properties, it's not 500 acres or 50 mining claims as this one was. Does this apply the transfer of data to, in this example, all 50 of those patented mining claims rather than just one? So when I went to refer to the measure on her website, all I found was one mining claim on that sale, and there were 50. So I was just a curiosity. The second curiosity I have is I was able to meet with her vendors a year ago at the Colorado Association of Tax Appraisers Conference in Breckenridge and talked to their representatives of that and other vendors that were there that we use in Park County. And it came to my attention, and I just wanted to get some contact with their industry representatives, that Just Appraisal Package, the software, is being used by other counties for applications as far as short-term rentals, for example. So I just wanted to find out what we could learn, because that was last August, and my memory from last August is not that good. So just basically some questions if we could get some information. So that's in front of us.
I agree with you. Some of the concerns that I had with this, and it's not a whole lot. I totally understand the agreement that was entered into in 2022, I believe, for this Just Appraise. But for us to sign this contract, my concern is it's not showing a value of what we are paying. What I see is licensing fees paid for the 2026 season to go from January 1st through December 31st, $19,950. And then on the back page, it's showing the renewal option breakdown from 2026. It does not give me a specific of what the cost is for 2027 to continue on with this contract. So before it's signed, I believe we need to have that in front of us so we know what we're signing, because it does mean a whole lot to just, if we sign this currently, I have an issue because there's not a value of what we're signing for.
Right. Thank you, Commissioner Gemmer, for that. There are three different options for for this contract, just as it looks like it's a quote page for a one-year renewal, a two-year renewal, and a three-year renewal, and it's a sliding cost scale. So the contract has to have a value on the contract or have this, you know, crossed out except for the one that we want to pay and have it be set up as an attachment or an exhibit to the contract. So I don't think it's ready to be executed.
With the exception of, and I will state this, on this here page for the signature page, it is stating 2026. And with that signature page, it's stating at the amount of $19,950. If that's the actual amount and they just misprinted the date of January 1st, then that would need to be corrected. But other than that, I can see moving forward with this contract. So this Just Appraise, this would be page, doesn't have a page number on it. There is a SAAS service order form, deeds. This order form itself is effective January 1st, 2026, and this is the page that I'm assuming has the blank signature that is the signature page. If the amount that is in question is $19,950, I would all be for approving. I just need clarification.
Yeah, it says license fee, so it looks like it is for 1 year.
So either the date's wrong, okay, or the amount's wrong, or both. And I just need clarification before we move forward with the signature on this.
Well, since this is a paper one, not an e-sign, I think that if we just have the date corrected, it looks like it's backdating for this service to start beginning of this year.
Yeah, and I believe we do have Monica Jones in the room. If you can kind of clear this up a little bit for us for this Just Appraise.
Welcome. I didn't see you. I apologize. I was down. My head was down.
So the discussion that we had was, my discussion anyways, is on this just appraise. I don't have a problem with moving forward with approving it and signing it. I just, the signature page is stating January 1st, 2026 through December 31st, 2026 in an amount of $19,950. I don't want to sign something that's inaccurate.
That's accurate.
That is accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that is what we're signing for, is this page itself to attach to the 2022 document that was signed then for the continuing.
Right, and all they need is that signature page.
Okay, and I was just curious if that date was wrong, or what? Can you kind of express to me what that the reason the date is for that $19,500, and the back page of this thing here is stating that the 2027 is $20,948. I was just a little confused.
So
2026 is $19,570 or $950 because it's 1 year?
We are only doing the 1 year contract. We did not go into a 2 year or a 3 year, and it would be beneficial to us to have a 2 or a 3 year contract because then we could pay less, but I could not do that at the time that this mm-hmm. came through. I would prefer a 3 year, and that, but we still run into the appropriations on it.
Sure.
But, you know, this is a very beneficial one, and I did give up half a person to get this contract several years ago. And it has proved to be exactly what I needed to be able to give up that person and keep the office going with the deeds.
So just to make sure, I think I get it. So because we have an established relationship with these guys since 2022, they are letting us execute this contract in the middle of January, but it has remained in effect, so the January 1 date works.
Yes, because they did not stop my services on January 1. I communicated with them what was going on, and they and I said the money was appropriated. It would happen at a point in time, but I did not have a signed contract. They went to their leadership, and the leadership said, that's fine, we will not discontinue services.
Understood. Thank you. That's.
Thank you.
Hey, that helps.
Perfect.
So am I correct that this helps transfer the data from the deeds to the camera?
Right. What it does is it brings in the deeds and the TD-1000s into our CAMA system. The staff then goes and verifies that it is correct. Now, does everything come over? No. We have things that come over that still need to be hand input, but we used to hand input every deed and every TD, and we had to match those up. And now they flow into our CAMA system.
It's an advantage.
Significant advantage to my office.
Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, before you run away, I believe there was a question about expanding the services to possibly include STR stuff.
If we could just get the vendors' contact info. When I was at CATA last year, I talked to the representatives of the vendors that CATA brought in. Harris was there. Just Appraise was there. Joanna Postel with whatever group she's running, Colorado Appraisers or whatever that is, and a couple others. And so I was talking to them in another county, and they said that they were using some of the applications in Just Appraise with their short-term rentals. And they didn't expand on it, so it was just a question of maybe we could ask the vendor what other applications they're applying in Colorado.
I do not know exactly what they're doing on that, but yes, I can reach out to them and ask them to provide information to you about short-term rental. There was a better one with Schneider Geospatial earlier this year that would have helped probably with permitting and permitting across the board, and it may have been, but since now there's a new permitting system, I don't know how that's going to work, but Schneider Geospatial was very advanced on their permitting and how it would run into just because that's my website and how everything would run together on that and make it much easier for basically the public.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I move that we approve the, as the contract says, SAAS services/just appraised contract for 2026.
All for motion.
Proper second. Any further discussion? Thank you for the clarification and the updates. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0. Okay, next up, number 2. Approve or deny resolution to amend the 2026 meeting BOCC meeting schedule. We had had a discussion in prior months, and when we changed attorneys twice last year, we moved our meeting days to Wednesdays because the attorney at the time, the attorney of the day, couldn't meet Tuesdays, so we were able to amend to Wednesday. And now that we've changed horses again, we kind of like Tuesdays as a meeting room, meeting day for us in this room because of our other duties that we have, mainly with Colorado Counties Incorporated, our industry and lobbying group.
And PPACG.
And PPACG. Commissioner Mitchell has a conflict Wednesday morning with them, and this will eliminate some of that overlap. We had some other ones. I missed the Arkansas Roundtable on Wednesdays. Commissioner Gimmer's on the South Platte Roundtable on Tuesdays. So, you know, it's all a matter of giving something to get something. So this will put us back on a Tuesday schedule beginning in February.
Beginning in February, I believe that's what we discussed at the last work session.
And just to say, most counties have their BOCC on Tuesdays, so a lot of the CCI and other things are scheduled that we can zoom in on information meetings and such. So it's good for us to all be on the same page so we can take advantage of all the other educational opportunities we have. So I move that we approve the resolution approving and adopting a meeting schedule for the Board of County Commissioners of the County of Park for the first, second, and third Tuesdays of every month. 9 a.m. to 11:30 is the work session, and 1 to 3 is the BOCC legislative session, and then special meetings as are needed.
I'll second that.
Proper motion and second, and to amend when we meet and at what times we meet. Any further discussion on the question? Being none, we'll call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. And this would be resolution 2026-006, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
I believe 5 was what we did. Okay, so 6. That's okay. I believe we're at 6. If we're not, we'll fix it.
Let me look at my book real quick.
Pretty sure we did 5 last week.
I believe so. The last one I have in here is the equipment.
Wagner was 5.
Yeah, so this would be 006.
Okay. If not, we'll fix it.
Good memory.
Okay, next up, we have number 3. Approve or deny resolution opposing the Colorado PUC's clean heat / electrification mandate and affirming the right of Park County residents to choose their energy sources. For this, I will defer to Commissioner Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This was brought up among many county commissioners, what the PUC is doing. We only have Xcel in a small part of the county, but we care about the people that live in that small part of that section of the county. They want to mandate complete electrification of all homes by 2050. That means no propane, no natural gas, and if you have heat or run your house on anything but electricity, you will have to retrofit your house. We believe that that's a complete overstep and is absolutely crazy, especially with the 2030 mandate of however much percent of renewable energy, which I don't think we're totally on that goal. We're not on the path to succeed there. So I think that this resolution basically in a nutshell says that we oppose this mandate. Park County strongly opposes the PUC's clean heat mandate, which seeks to eliminate natural gas and other non-electric energy sources for home heating and cooking by 2050 as a condition of state-mandated decarbonization. We affirm local choice. We recognize the rural challenges, that we need other options besides electricity. We call for flexibility and equity, and we request for the state and utility accountability to allow us to make our choices, and we support alternative solutions. So basically, in a nutshell, that's what we are talking about, and we did talk about that in our work session last week.
Thank you for that summary.
Thank you for the summary.
That is, I looked through and the writing of this. I believe that it meets the standards of what this county does not want to get involved in, is limiting their ability to operate based off of a mandate. I think that we should be able to send this in and be very clear that this county absolutely should be able to pick and choose what source they're going to heat their house with.
Isn't it a matter of survival?
It is.
Just the basic components of survival. If you don't have a wood stove, it's kind of hard to live up here. If you don't have a wood stove, you need some alternative energy.
You always need a backup.
Always.
Because stuff happens.
Well, when we look back at the evolution of the mandates for eliminating fossil fuels, it used to be, I think, if I remember right, back in the aughts, we were supposed to have 20% of all of our renewables by 2020. And then it was 30% by 2030. And now it's 41% by 2035. That was just reinforced by the there was just some media on the one of the boards and commissions that does this. Maybe it was the PUC. They held to the 41% mandate because they didn't have a better number. Even though technology is advancing away from some of the renewables as we know them to nuclear and other sustainable, non-polluting sources. And when you look at the new electrical code, and it came up in Chaffee County, the 2020 code, I think it is, because we're on the 2018, requires a homeowner to install electrification for an electric car, whether you use one or not.
That is correct.
Whether you has one or not. So I know our resort communities have been adopting, if they haven't already adopted. Chaffee County, for example, they were getting quite a bit of pushback from their municipals because of the code factor and the cost factor. And you might be able to speak to this, Commissioner Gimmer, more than me.
Yeah, so there's definitely some construction efforts going on. I don't know if Chaffee County actually adopted it or is working on the effort of adopting it, but I know that the municipal districts within Chaffee County absolutely adopted it, where that you must install a electrical unit to charge your vehicles, a higher powered, quicker charging unit into every structure, and you must also include in that a way to consume energy from your solar or other energies on your roof. You don't get an option. And I know that's an effort that they've been pushing. I don't see that as being beneficial to force anybody to do anything of that nature.
Right. And I know I can speak to when we adopted the building code 2018, I think it was in 2021 possibly, we had that discussion and said that we think 2018 is a good code. It's up to date. And we weren't interested in taking the code further than that because of the added expense it would add to anybody who wanted to build a home in Park County. So that's kind of where we landed when we passed 2018. And who knows what the future holds. But I think that...
Just for instance, when it comes to building codes, I know that you start moving into the most recent codes that are coming out. They're looking into forcing you to have fire retardant siding, fire retardant roofing, a fire suppression system, and these are in residence. This is stuff that just doesn't work in the mountains in some instances.
That's the WUI code.
That is the WUI code.
The WUI code. So if you set up a WUI, whatever the WUI map is for Park County, which we are working on drafting, the state wanted to mandate the maps, and we fought to say no. We are going to draw our own map in Park County because of the estimated $80,000 cost of a new home if they are building in the WUI, which is wildland-urban interface. So anyway, we got off on a tangent. But anyway, we are really trying to be mindful of anyone who wants to move up here and build that's got a vacant parcel, that has a dream to live here. We want to make it at least possible for them to be able to do it.
And I believe that's very important for us to oppose this mandate coming down from the state on this moving to electrification heat in all homes.
As we discussed in our work session about water, this is really no different. This is just another utility that we have to be able to manage to the best of our ability. And that's not necessarily easy. That's not necessarily readily available. There will be places in this county well past our lifetimes that will never have traditional, typical utilities. It just isn't economically feasible. So we have to offer whatever people choose at their own discretion, all the options that are available, and not limit anything that we can, in my opinion.
I'm going to go ahead and move to approve the resolution opposing the Colorado PUC's clean heat electrification mandate and affirming the right of Park County residents to choose their energy source.
Proper motion.
Second.
Proper second. I wholeheartedly support the wording on it and complete support.
007?
Would be that if we choose to get there.
If we choose to get there.
Any further discussion? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. And this is 007. Okay, thank you, everybody. And my agenda. Okay, next up, we have number 4, approve or deny Land and Water Trust Fund recommendation grant proposal for Colorado Open Lands Barren Ranch Conservation Easement. We heard this last week at our work session and had discussion with Liz Biggs and members of the Land and Water Trust Fund Board. This is a conservation easement, contiguous if not bordering Staunton State Park in Jefferson County. And this was recommended by the Land and Water Trust Fund Board for a variety of reasons, and we'll open the question on the table.
Just to put on the table, I move that we approve the Land and Water Trust Fund recommended grant proposal for Colorado Open Lands Barren Ranch Conservation Easement.
Proper motion, proper second. And just for edification purposes, this is in the amount of $81,600 for transaction costs, which are going to be basically consulting fees for appraisals and tax advice. That's traditionally what the Land and Water Trust Fund recommends and this board has funded. Any further discussion?
I'd just like to say in reviewing the packet last week at the work session, this is, I believe, on the northwest side of Staunton Park. And Staunton Park is getting really busy, and it has been a wildlife area until the tourism really started coming in there. And this is an absolutely unbelievable piece of property that the photos they sent, there is moose, bear, deer, elk, wildlife. I believe it is a good sanctuary. It's it offers a migration corridor if they're going through Staunton to be able to get there and into the national forest. So I know that conservation easements are not always popular, but I think this one is. It does have deeded water as well, and so it does preserve the water in Park County. And I have to look at how many acre feet. I probably don't have it quick, but it does have water as well and a couple ponds. And so I think this is, and they'll also have limited grazing lease on it, and that's just good for the, good to keep the grass down. So I think this is a good conservation project.
You know, and I'll second that as well. I believe that when I looked at this application, I can appreciate the opposition and what they had to state as to it doesn't quite meet ag purposes as it only holds 25 for a short period of time. I think the biggest key factor for this one is more based off of the water and the water issues, the water rights that come with it, that is pretty important in my mind when it does come to these conservation easements. So,
I think the benefit to this is its contiguous, its location being contiguous to Staunton. It actually will offer some of the amenities that Staunton does. Hill still in private ownership, and they'll get, owners will get the benefit of that. Remember, what we're dealing with is the loss in value, if you will, for the full bundle of rights, not partial bundle of rights. So they're giving up development rights in exchange for this IRS-created critter that's the tax credit. So it's just a matter of adding to the inventory around Staunton State Park.
Right, and they did retain one building envelope, but it is in the north area, out of the wildlife migration, heavy use of wildlife, will not interfere with the water. And so I think that they were very mindful about where they put that potential building envelope for any future generations of the family that owns this ranch, if they ever do choose to build a cabin or whatever. So,
okay, call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The motion carries 3-0. Number 5, approve or deny appointment of Tourism Board member Mr. Todd Johnson. We have an application. Mr. Bruner is here from our Tourism Board. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I'm chair of the Tourism.
Is your mic on? Would you?
Is the green light on, Bill?
No.
Okay, thank you.
There we go. All right. I'm chair of the Tourism Advisory Board, and we bring this application to you. It was unanimously approved by the board for your consideration.
Point of privilege real quick. Would you mind announcing your name again just for the record?
Sure. Bill Bruner.
Thank you, Bill. Just so our clerk has a record, that's all. I think we discussed this. I don't have an issue with it whatsoever.
Are we talking about the what you're announcing right now? Because I think that would be our item 6. I think item 5 is the approval denial appointment of Tourism Board member.
No, that's what we're talking about. 5.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah.
I just have a concern. Mr. Johnson contacted us, I don't know, a month and a half ago or so, wanting the county to help financially help him promote his movie, his conservation movie, in Park County. And I very plainly told him that we weren't going to participate in that. We didn't have it in the budget. We didn't think it was appropriate for us to promote a private instrument. You know, anyone else who wants to, we don't slight them, but don't think it's appropriate use of taxpayer dollars. And then he's come back and asked again, and I just, in his communications with me, I don't feel he understands potential conflict of interest that he's got, because I'm sensing, based on our emails and such, that he sees that the Tourism Board could help him promote his business, and it's a concern.
I understand. You know, I mentioned last week in the work session that I had concerns about his connections with the marijuana industry. So I do understand, but I'm bringing this to you because the board approved it unanimously. So I leave it up to you what you'd like to do.
I appreciate that. And I think that as I understand Commissioner Mitchell's issues or her discussion points that she's had with him, typically when it comes to board members, I appreciate board members wanting to be involved in part of a board for sure. The questions that were asked to him and specific when he was here, all related back to his own personal business. That concerned me as appointing him. It didn't seem like he had interest in helping tourism out or the tourism itself. It was, he really, his answers were all based on his ability to utilize his company to, and it almost, it, I'm not going to say to benefit his company, but it's, it he didn't have any scope beyond that, and that's what worried me or concerned me.
I understand.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the board?
You know, I wouldn't normally go this direction, but that did concern me because I think I tried to ask him in 3 different ways to try to get him to respond to what he would like to see benefit the county and how he could really help out the tourism board, and he never did mention it. Kept going back to the same thing, his company that he owned, and how that. So at this time, because of that, I'm going to move to deny the appointment of that of Todd Johnson to the tourism board member.
Proper motion. I'll second that.
Okay, proper second and motion. It's on the table.
We rarely do this, but because we've had multiple conversations and communications, I don't want to appoint someone that's going to give you headaches. Because the board is working well. You guys are on a great trajectory. And I would hate to do something that would gum you up and really start causing you guys to have to put on any brakes with the good momentum you've got going. So I think that I know that you had a resignation. You're down to. But a five-member board can function well. And we will always leave the door open for anyone who comes and wants to, you know, entertain sitting on the board. But I think we'll be doing you a favor.
I appreciate that.
And I'm going to be fair and state that I believe that if Todd Johnson wanted to come back and reapply and give us a good description of what he can bring to tourism, and I understand that, and the intention doesn't sound solely around his business, that's a whole different perspective. But how it was displayed and the multiple efforts that were given for him to try to revert and utilize what he can bring to the tourism board was not there for me to be able to approve him at this time.
I understand.
Okay, so what we have on the table is to deny, moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
No.
Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0 to deny Mr. Johnson, and he has the opportunity to come back to us with further discussion and communication.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Bruner.
Thank you. The next item is ours also.
Yes. We have next up, we have approve or deny professional service agreement with Mount Bailey Productions. Are we good with this, Lucas?
I believe that we are still waiting some legal review. Yeah. If it is the pleasure of the board to move this to the very last thing, we could probably have a break and have it ready, but at this time we're close, but not there, I think, legally.
Well, I would say let's just put it at the end of the agenda at this point, and if we can get to it, we will. If we won't, we'll move it to the next meeting. And not to waste your time, sir, but get through the rest of our agenda and then come back to it when legal has a chance to finish it up.
Okay.
Okay. Any objection to that?
No objection for me.
No objection.
Okay. We'll do that in accordance.
Yeah, sounds like we're just minutes away from.
We're not far.
Okay, and then the next item is also ours.
Okay. That is correct.
Yeah, and I just wanted to give Nate a chance to finish with Commissioner Mitchell because they're the ones that are.
And I can tee this one off for you, Bill. I reviewed the Film Commission proposal. We've heard from Ann several times. We have directed. Well, I have asked our legal team and paralegal to produce a contract based on the quote and scope of services that we were provided by Lucas. So, I think that we will have a contract to review. You can zoom in on the next meeting because you've been driving up here a bit. but I thought that it was appropriate based on our conversations we had at our work session last week, to move it forward. So, Lucas?
Just one point of clarification for all on Zoom land and the ones that are here in person. That's Ann Lucas Films, not
right.
Lucas Meyer.
No.
So, no, and, no connection.
I mean, we're not dealing with Lucas Films. I mean, come on.
And George isn't coming.
Yeah, no Star Wars in the high country or whatever you want to call it. So
I appreciate that this year moving it forward to a contract. It was unanimously approved by the board, and we think it's a very good idea to build a base of bringing films and TV productions into the county.
Good clean
I think
industry.
We agree with you, Bill, because we have $1 billion worth of scenery. We have nothing but opportunity to sell. And it would be absolutely in our best interest to utilize this wonderful natural scenery to the benefit of whoever.
Absolutely.
I absolutely don't disagree with you. I believe this is a proper decision expenditure of the funds. I think that the contract language is very important for us to make sure we get right. So
I agree with that.
Yeah, so we have Ann's proposal, all the numbers, what she wants to do, and we're just going to fold that into our normal agreement, and I think we'll be ready to discuss that.
Good.
Very near in the future.
Thank you very much, and I'll be available whenever you need me. And
thank
I'll
you,
wait,
Bill.
I'll wait to the end here and see if we can get this Mount Bailey taken care of.
I think we will. It's just getting through the legal side. Okay. Yeah, those are our legal agreements on all this. Okay.
So, just hold on 1 second.
We'll take a short recess.
All right. We have lots of contracts that we've been reviewing. So the Mount Bailey Productions agreement, it's ready for us to talk about. So
it is or is not?
It is, yes.
Okay.
So we will talk about it.
And if you look at it, the things that it's one of our boilerplate agreements that we've been using. This one usually comes up with like Health and Human Services and those types of service agreements, which this is one. If we just want to go quick to page 5, where it, the bid is a not to exceed amount. So basically we are giving – wait, it is
– it's $31,110.
Right.
Because we are excluding the podcast right now because we don't think we're ready to do those.
Okay. And so basically it is a monthly – the bid was a monthly expense, not to exceed those expenses. So it's a number A on page 4, not to exceed – and then, so it's really easy. It's not going to be a lump sum. We'll pay monthly based on the invoices that come in and the work that she did for Explore Park County. And so we would check the first box under A on that section. We have these. This is like a multi-choice contract. It's kind of cool. And then on page 5 under D, reimbursable expenses, none, because this is just contracting with a private entity that is going to perform this service. And other than that, under liability and insurance, it's the first box under A, the contractor will obtain and maintain types, forms, and coverages of insurance deemed by the contractor to be sufficient to meet or exceed the contractor's minimum statutory legal obligations arising under this agreement because they're just providing this service. So that's how the contract will read.
That makes sense.
Okay.
those were the questions I had on the contract anyways, because there was a selection box.
Exactly, multiple
under the
choice.
Contract. So I'm like, how does that work exactly? And we need to make sure that is identified as to what is properly checked before.
Right, and then under Exhibit A is the scope of services and the pricing. So we merged. The contract normally has an A and a B exhibits for scope of service, then pricing. It's just been merged into one exhibit.
Okay, so when it talks in the description, A and B in the contract, there's only one Exhibit A.
Right, and I'm trying to remember what part.
She originally gave us a per item contract idea, so if you bought certain services, what that would be, or the combined services, so we're going with the combined services.
And let me find where that is.
On the very top, it says page one, scope of service forth in Exhibit A.
Okay.
But so. That's the only place I was seeing in the description. I believe the rest of it has already been stricken for Exhibit B.
Yeah, in the scope of services, also lists the prices. So I think we are good.
So this, again, was unanimously approved by the board, and they were very excited about it. In fact, several of them commented that this was a very good price for the amount of services that we're receiving.
Okay. Lucas.
Should this pass the BOCC vote, please make sure that we initial or sign the bottom of every page, since there is the multiple checkbox thing. Just,
is there a signature needed at each page, or the checkmark box needs a initials?
Probably initial next to the checkboxes, and then there's a little gray line at the bottom of each page for signature or initials.
Thank
so
you.
Just that we're making sure that we complete the contract in full on that one.
Okay, so what we have before us is, if I'm correct, a professional services agreement for heritage and tourism, social media, and website management?
Well, it's going to be split out. Heritage and Tourism has already been using Mount Bailey Productions, and then we've split it out between the Tourism Board and Mount Bailey Productions for natural heritage and tourism. They're going to provide services for both those entities under two different structures and requirements for service.
Just ask for a point of clarification as well.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to move to approve the professional service agreement with Mount Bailey Productions with the identifying features in which were described when Commissioner Mitchell was going through it, such as page four, section A, crossbox, first box checked, page five, section D, none, first box checked. Page seven, section eight, insurance, first box checked. That's it.
I second that motion.
Okay, it's properly before us for this professional services agreement. Is there any further discussion or comments?
I've just got one more comment. So this agreement, if you look at the Exhibit A, it breaks down what Explore Park County is going to be paying and what South Park National Heritage is going to be paying. So this is like a covers two entities, but the title of this contract is appropriate. So just so everybody is aware that it's going to cover both of those.
And I would note it's so delineated.
Yes.
Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0.
Thank you all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate your service.
And we'll come back to the Film Park County.
Yeah, we'll come back to that if
proposal.
We have time today.
Okay.
If not, we'll pick it up next time. Next up. We're waiting on just some we're waiting on clarification for the film proposal.
No, this one's going to be turned into an agreement for a future date.
Okay, so we won't worry about that one.
No, we're just waiting on the
Good enough?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, sir.
Okay, we're down to towards the end of our agenda, so we're going to go into number one, an abatement hearing for ASCAG LLC. I'm going to take the privilege to set this up a little bit. Basically, what we have before us as the Board of County Commissioners at this point is a petition for abatement or refund of taxes. So what happens in this process is this is a formal request to clear up or correct an illegal or erroneous assessment in the petitioner's view. So what we have before us, and I'll set this up if you don't mind, just to set up the record for it. This is schedule number, 47546. This is the address of 27 Silver Springs Road, Bailey, Colorado. Ownership is ASCAG LLC in Pine, Colorado. This is asking for an agricultural classification, and this is for taxable years 2023 and 2024. With that, that basically sets up the record. So how we're going to do this is we're going to ask the petitioner to come up and present your evidence, and I will ask the assessor to present your information, and then we'll have questions. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to see you guys. I believe... What's that?
Check the mic and say your name.
Adam Shirley, ASCAG LLC.
Thank you.
You bet. It is on. I just got to talk really close to it, I guess.
Got to eat the microphone.
Eat it. And I'm supposed to give you guys all a packet, right?
If you have any evidence, yep.
And the assessor, correct?
Thank you, sir.
I picked that color blue just for you.
Thank you. I'm wearing blue today.
I hope you like purple.
I do. Thank you.
There you go. And I knew Gimmer likes green.
Color coding.
I've never done this before, so I've listened to a few of these deals. I just want to make sure, if you guys have any questions, feel free to ask at any time. First thing in your packet that you're going to see is that I did have a lease with the previous owner. This piece of ground we purchased in 2022. We had the intent earlier to purchase it. We just had to figure out how to do it. So we started working with the previous owners on getting a lease going. I actually, as my photos will show, ran cattle on that in 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. There are not cattle on there right now as we don't bring the cows off of corn stalks until later in the year, or later in the early spring. So with trying to put all this stuff together, I had spoken with the assessor, when we started looking and purchasing this land. Also, there's brand inspections in there. That way you guys know that I do run cattle and we have brand inspections. I will tell you that our brand inspection for the 2025, those calves were sold in, I don't think I have 2025 in there. Because we sold them the first of the year, so I apologize for that. But if you do need that, I can pull it up on my phone. Back to November of 2024, there was a a case that you guys heard, and it took me back a little bit because I'd come and talk to the assessor about ag status and what I needed and how long it was going to take, and we spoke about it at length, and it needed to be 3 years. It needed to be, you know, we purchased in August or October of 2022, so it'd be 2023, 24, 25, and then I'd get ag in 2026. Or 2025, sorry. I always get those off on the years, but yes, thank you. But I listened to that case that you guys heard on Mr. Anderson, and in your packet, I didn't know. I thought you could just print off the whole thing on the website, but it is not transcribed on there. So I put it through a deal. I put the mic, the recording through a transcriber, and I had that to transcribe it so that way you guys had it in front of you. That is not the entire meeting. Those are just the two cases that I heard. And you know, when I heard the case of Mr. Anderson not having ag, I want to say this right, ag taxes, is that correct? Did I say that correctly?
Just say classification.
Classification. There you go. Thank you. Ag classification. And then he had a lease for 2024, and then you guys approved that. And I was like, well, what's going on? I've been running cows on this deal since 2020. And so that got me thinking. I talked to the assessor, and she said, no, that's not the way that it works. It's 3 years. So then back November 5th, 2025, there was another case of a guy with a lease. The lease expired. I'm just generalizing this. I think you guys may remember that one. It wasn't that long ago. It was Coffin R0025790. And, you know, that deal went back and forth, and there was no lease. I had a lease in 21. I ran cows in 20. I also did come across a Supreme Court decision, Douglas County Board of Equalization versus Edith Clark. And the State Appellate Court 921P.2D717, Colorado 1996, further supports that the definition of a ranch by stating that the taxpayer must prove that actual grazing of the parcel took place in the applicable tax year unless the reason of the land was not grazed related to a conservation practice or unless the land in question is part of a larger agriculture unit on which the grazing or conservation practices have occurred during the relevant tax years. This applies whether or not a lease exists. In other words, even if the itemized lease is attached to the land, the lease must actually be the leasee must actually use the land in order for the parcel to qualify. I believe that I've showed the burden of proof there, that I've used the land. I've shown pictures. I don't know how else you prove it except for going back to 2020 and getting those pictures. And I apologize for the pictures. When you change from an iPhone, from an Android to an iPhone, and then you try to get those pictures back, I had to take pictures of an old phone because I couldn't get those on my iPhone. So, and those are date stamped. So, any questions?
Questions, Mr. Sherlin?
Yes, thanks. Did you provide proof to the assessor of your ag use on that parcel?
I did. I did send that lease in 2021.
And Did you send it in for 2022, 2023?
No, 2022, I purchased land.
So, and you did not provide a copy of the lease or of any indication that you were raising cattle to make a profit on that land?
No, I did not provide a lease to myself.
To the assessor is what I'm asking.
I did not. We had spoken, but I did not hand that to her. The lease did get emailed to her, but that was some time ago. I don't know where it is exactly. So.
And this is this current lease that we're looking at in our hand right now that is dated first day of January 2021 between Colorado Pine Ridge LLC, also known as the owner. Is that correct? That's the lease we're talking about, that you had a lease 2021.
Correct.
You stated there was a lease prior to 2021 as well?
Nope, there's not.
This is the first lease. But you also did state that you had cattle on there prior to. This is the first lease agreement for that property in question.
That is correct. That is the first lease that I had on that property. But I was in contact with them, and I ran cows on there previously to getting the lease in 2021. So that's where I went with that Supreme Court case, Mr. Gimmer. I'm sorry.
No problem.
There was actual use, and that's what the photos are for.
I appreciate the photos. I do understand it's difficult to transfer photos sometimes when it comes to one or the other. I can definitely see cattle usage on a property and a date on here. Some of the property I can identify as being somewhat near or close. Is there any way to identify on those photos the actual location of where they're taken? Is there a pin?
I don't have
facility. I'm not asking for an actual. I mean, this makes sense. There's a few pieces of pictures on here that I can personally, because I've been on that property, can identify that it is accurate. Not all of them though. But no, I just was curious.
It is 179 acres, and we've used that, all different sides of that deal. So,
thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions?
Not at the moment.
I'll tell you one. We'll hold them. We'll be able to ask. We're in a minute. One question I have for you, if I may. So just to clarify, this 2021-22 pasture lease agreement between Colorado Pine Ridge and you, do you know approximately when you provided this to the assessor?
I didn't know what she said.
She might be able to tell us, but I just was asking. Okay, thank you.
I thought it was earlier than that. My wife had sent it in, but I can't prove that. So
we're just asking questions.
No, you bet. No, I appreciate it.
Why don't you have a seat, and we'll have Assessor Jones come up and give her side of it, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
Welcome, ma'am.
Monica Jones, assessor. In a property tax assessment abatement case, the petitioner carries the burden of proof to demonstrate that the valuation and classification of a property was incorrect pursuant to CRS 391104. To prevail, the petitioner must present substantial and reliable evidence to show that the county assessor's classification was erroneous. So the petitioner did come into my office in 2022, and we sat down and discussed when ag would be available on his property. 2022, 2023, 2024, he would receive it in 2025. And that was our discussion at that time. After that discussion, there was no problems with it. We went forward. In 2025, he did receive his agricultural status for that property. It was sometime in 2024 in which I did receive the lease for 2021. So I did not have a lease prior to that. I had no knowledge that the property was being used for agricultural. The previous owner did not provide any documentation that there was a lease available. I can't go back in time and sit there and say there were cows on the ground or there were cows not on the ground. The other reason why this abatement came through is that when we saw the 2021 lease, that would take it back to, he had filed the abatement for 23 and 24. Those are over $10,000 in tax refund. That has to come to you guys. I cannot make that decision. I cannot do it on my own. So that's why I stopped everything at that point in time and said an abatement needs to be done. An abatement needs to go forward. I will attest to the fact that, and I do not dispute that the petitioners are no ranchers in the area. Documentation was provided to the office, and that documentation was brand inspections and butcher receipts that we received from Mr. Shirley in 2023-2024, and that's why it qualified in 2025. However, I have no documentation or other reliable evidence demonstrating qualifying agricultural use of the subject parcels for 2020 and 2021. I know he has the lease. I don't know if there were cows out there. I had nothing brought me to the attention of that parcel, and as you know, we have 40,000 parcels in Park County, and I was not looking for cows out there in Bailey. So it is my recommendation to deny the petition because I have no way of saying for a fact to you that they had cows there in 2020 and 2021.
Thank you.
Anything else, ma'am?
No questions?
Questions.
No, I think you summed it up pretty well. I believe you, under the understanding, you're stating that as far as the assessment goes, you demonstrated that the information of the lease didn't come into you until 2023?
I believe it was 2024.
2024? I
believe it was after that Anderson case that it came in to me.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Nope. I don't have any other questions, so thank you.
I don't have any.
And my only question is, and I'm not unfamiliar with this, it's all about what is provided to you from the landowner that's making the claim. And so you need that documented proof for every year to make sure the assessment is handled properly.
Well, I mean, as it states, use is the whole thing.
Right.
And it doesn't matter about a lease. And I can't go into a BAA case or anything else and sit there and say, if they can prove there's use, I can't say that they're, you know, just because you don't have a lease, there's no use. I was not aware of this property having cattle on it until 2022 when it was purchased by the rancher. I know him as a rancher in the area, and so 2022 was his first year. It's 2 years plus current, and that's why he received it in 2025.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adam, you want to add anything?
You know, I can look at this deal and I can see it from all different angles, right? And I think that's what people are good at is trying to look and see where we can all work it all and work together on it. But the proof of pictures in 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 show that I've run cattle on there, and that's what the Supreme Court's case states. And, you know, that would go back to the 23 and 24 taxes that we paid on that ground. And I do believe that it should be agriculture. The the 2022. I think I could push that issue with some of the other things on those other two cases that were done. But, you know, I would be all right with 23 and 24. I think that would be that's what I asked for in the beginning. So I think that's where I'll be at. So if there's any more questions for me, just holler.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is the subject parcel fenced?
Yes.
All sides?
Not all sides. We use electric fence on the bottom side, just because we don't use that year round. Like whenever I came to you guys in 2023, I believe it was May of 2023, and we got that zoned agriculture. And due to neighbors and other stuff going on below, we only fenced the upper portion of that with hot wire, and then we're fenced on three sides. The bottom side is just hot wire, and then we take that down in the wintertime when the cows aren't in there for the elk, and in the summertime for the wildlife. So
it's seasonal graze.
Yeah, and that was part of the deal whenever we talked about doing the agriculture, is that I would run those cows there in the springtime, not in the summer during the growing season, and then the fall before we ship.
Okay. That was one of my big main questions, because fences usually make good neighbors.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to four-legged critters.
Yes, this is
generally speaking.
And we have been using the collars as well, and that's been a little bit of a different challenge, but then cows seem to learn pretty quick, so.
Okay, well, that was my one main question. Any other questions?
So, Adam, a question. The pictures I'm looking at, I don't see collars on any of these cows.
Yep.
And I know that there's some calves mixed in there, too.
Yeah.
I know the cows are what wear the collars, because the calves stay with the cows, and I don't see any collars on the cows.
Like I said, we've just been experimenting with it, with Bryce Lewis, one of the brand inspectors down on the in the Arkansas Valley, and I've just worked with him. I promise you, I will have better pictures from here on forward, because I just not one of those picture taking kind of guys. And until I had to do all this, I'm like, holy cow, I don't take very many pictures. So I apologize for the no collared pictures. These are just the pictures that I have, and like I said, my documentation will get much better moving forward now that I know what a guy needs to do.
Other questions?
I don't have any other questions. I'm ready for discussion, for sure.
Okay. I think we've done with questions. We'll have deliberation.
Perfect.
So at this point, I would move we close public comment unless we have questions.
Should we move into public comment?
Well, we don't have public comment in an abatement hearing.
It's just discussion.
Yeah,
just discussion.
So we move into discussion.
So when it comes to this, I can definitely see the value point of what is being presented here as far as the brand papers, the pictures, and at least the lease agreement from 2021. Being of value, the in question would be, obviously there's cattle in pictures on 2020. I can't tell you for sure that they're on that property. I'm going to assume that they are. But that lease agreement definitely holds value to me for at least 2021, which would then revert at least 2024 back into the purview of being ag status, from my understanding of how it reads. That's my valuation for sure. At this time,
I agree that the lease from 2021 has standing in this discussion, but unfortunately, I will take the assessor's side on this one, because she wouldn't have a discovery of it. Part of all of this is when you get the information and in what form. And I'm not doubting that there was use, and there probably was. I know more about these three parcels than anybody wants to know. And I've watched the evolution of them from vacant, platted, undeveloped subdivision filings to vacant ground for a period of 40 years. This was all part of Bill Schott's ranch at one time. Mm-hmm. And it was probably highest and best use as grazing. But the Hutchison brothers created Will of the West back in 1982. And these were the filings 2 and 3 that were yet to be developed and never will be likely in our lifetimes. Because there wasn't discovery in 23 and 24, I'm going to say no.
So, and I would argue the point that, although I appreciate what you're stating, I would argue the point that because of the evidentials of it being there, and to be fair, the way it is written in law of what is considered to be and how far back you can go based off of information is discoverable, but it's not plainly drawn out or easy. I would be fair to state that when, from my understanding from Mr. Shirley, discovered that there was a potential because he's been using the ground for a long time, it was then presented. I could see going back to at least the 2021, which would put the 2024 in question, in my mind, tax abatement.
Commissioner Mitchell.
Well, I can't say where these pictures are. I mean, that's the part that I understand. I mean, I take pictures of cattle on my ranch from time to time just because I appreciate some of their character, I can say. I might paint them someday. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's all in. If it's in writing, it's real. If it's provided to the assessor timely when you need to, that is what keeps and gives you your classification. I have to do it, you know, all the time. I mean, every year we supply proper proof to be able to maintain our status for the lease of our ranch to our neighbor, who there's usually cattle on our ranch almost, you know, 9-10 months out of the year. So I just see that the documentation is not complete. And I know that it's the spot where you bought the land, so you thought it was good, but you still have to maintain, even if you own the land, you still have to provide proof that it's being used for agricultural production to make a profit. And that's the whole nexus to that. And I don't see that was provided. So that's where I stand. So,
I agree with you, but I can argue the point that it was provided. It just was not provided in a manner in which the assessor was able to affect 2023-2024 taxation. But it is provided to us today in the sense of proper presentation of the value. Now, I struggle to go back to the 2020, even though there's pictures, because of what Commissioner Mitchell states, that it's hard to define where this property actually is. I don't doubt that it's on this property. I know that the 2021 has a lease agreement, and I can definitely tell in these pictures that they're in that area from my familiarity of that certain property. So my opinion would be a partial abatement. Is it for the 2024 tax season, which would then be the 2021 to 3 would be that 3-year period, and then the abatement would start on the 2024.
Just for the discussion, we can improve in whole or in part. We can improve all of it. We can improve none of it. We can improve something in between it. It's our discretion. Mm-hmm. I just want to make that clear.
Yep, and that's kind of the direction I'm going. Is in my opinion, I see the value of the pictures that were sent. I think that's absolutely appropriate to send pictures. I understand that the assessor the assessor understands of when they got the information and how it was presented, and the assessment value was too late for those assessment periods, in her opinion. I believe that's what you described as well, Commissioner Whistle.
But what it is, it's an ask after the fact.
It's an ask after the fact, and I believe that I err on the side of caution when it comes to the people and their understanding of how to function. Sometimes you run through the system and work until you find out, oh, man, I should have done this a long time ago. I understand not being able to back up an extreme amount of ways, but I do agree with if the person was using it and did demonstrate ag status to a point that that abatement should go through in a sense. And my opinion would be a partial abatement for the 2024 tax season.
And I think that would be appropriate because there is proof of 2024. And I think this... Go ahead. I want to collect my thoughts.
Okay. I don't want the building to fall down or anything, but I am going to agree with the assessor on this one. The timbers may shake and the foundation may fall in. And I only do that because I've been in her shoes. I've been trying to do things after the fact every year for ag. It's not easy to keep up. There is a very small window of availability of time that I've experienced for a fair amount of my life to turn these decisions around. And the great thing about this process is even if we say no, you have the right of appeal further. So this is not the final decision, whatever we may decide. If we say yes, it will likely be the assessor can't appeal it. We can't appeal it. We wouldn't. It wouldn't be a yes. If we say no, you have the right to go further to the Board of Assessment Appeals and argue that out. But that's my position on it.
And I don't agree. I don't disagree with you that I don't believe that the assessor evaluated this improper with the information they had at the time. But the information is in front of us now, and the information is, in my opinion, when I see it here, is clear for the 2021 tax season, which would then put the 2024 in question for the abatement. I totally understand with the pictures. There's evaluations of it being pushed back farther, which I can appreciate the ask from the property in question and the owner. But when it comes to evidentials in front of me, I see the 2021 as being an absolute proof of evidence with a clear evidential lease agreement, evidence of pictures. And I'm not saying that the assessor did it wrong at all. I'm just stating that when the owner of the property found that there is a potential there, I believe that he took appropriate action to try to send that to the assessor. And, of course, it was too late for the assessor to backdate 2024, 2023, whatever information that she had when it came to it. And I believe that a partial abatement still is appropriate in my mind.
Without a motion?
I'll move to do a partial abatement for 2024 tax season on approval. Yes, approval of a partial abatement for 2024 tax season on schedule number R0047546.
Is there a second?
No.
I'm just curious. I'm going to second it to put it on the table to see where we go with this because I'm just kind of curious where you all are thinking because – I see your argument. I mean, the paperwork is there. It's just I have to defer to maybe my bad assessor side to say that we deal with this on a basis and there's a two-way street. Property owner has a right and responsibility to provide evidence of use, as does the assessor to accept it. This is a two-way street. It's not the assessor's job in whole. It's not the property owner's part in whole. It's a combination of the two. And by working together, that's when we get to good results and we have people with the classification they have earned under the law. So I'm just going to put it on the table for this discussion to see where we go.
No, I totally agree with you in what you're stating there. I will tell you that I believe in all intents and purposes, if there is an error, I always try to err in the side of the citizens. And if that error is was made in part because the information wasn't presented to the assessor in a timely manner for them to assess it prior to, I still err on the side of the citizen. I believe that there is an evaluation there. There is evidence in my mind that show that at least 2024 is a clear evidence that there was it was being utilized for the intended purposes in which was stated.
I'd just like to make a comment. Anyone who's been ranching in this county, and I think you've been ranching for quite a long time, the parcel owner, that these requirements are not a secret. It's very well known what you have to do to maintain status, even on a new parcel that's purchased. So in thinking this through and thinking about, you know, anyone who's owns lived on land that was used in ranching, understanding how the agriculture classification goes, it's the property owner's responsibility to timely provide the documentation. And if the documentation isn't provide pictures that I can't, I mean, I see the pictures, but I know that in a, you brought up past decisions, so I will. It was that the moms had collars, the calves didn't. Well, there's no collars. And so that would, to me, say that they weren't on that piece of parcel. Because the only way to keep the cattle there without a fence is to have a geofence. And so, no, we're in deliberation now. So I see that I'm not convinced that that this is appropriate because anyone who's ranched in Park County for a long time knows the requirements. And I just think that this is a oops.
I appreciate what your comments to that. I will state that as I see what you're where you're going with that, and I understand what you're stating on there. I will tell you that I believe it was described by the owner of the property that it was hot electric fence that kept them in. The collar thing was a new process that they were working through. So that's an effort that they're currently working on, not is how I heard it described, not something that is they used in 2021 or when these pictures were presented to us or as they are, were taken as far as the pictures that we do see. And I state that because even some of the people I know that are currently in the ranching business right now that are in the process of seeing how this geofence works, they'll utilize it on a couple one, maybe two of the what they call their herd cattle, the main cows, not the entire herd, right? So they're going to put it on the ones that are either the problem childs, not the entire herd. So it's very difficult to get a picture of that, even if it was in the 2025 season currently being used. I just wanted to clarify that in my mind.
Okay, so what we have on the table is a motion to approve 2024 as ag. That's what's on the table. Motioned and seconded. Further discussion? Call the question if there's no further discussion. Those in favor of the motion, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Aye.
Aye.
Motion fails 2-1. That is the record 2-1. Okay, what's next on my agenda?
It is the resolution clarifying and limiting the use of county funds for legal representation of elected officials. And Commissioner Whistle, this was the copy that has the...
Thank you. With that, we have resolution clarifying and limiting the use of county funds for legal representation of elected officials. This basically came about as a housekeeping matter, as we talked about at the beginning of our work session, as well as our last couple sessions of trying to establish normal order, regular order, in the county's functions and processes. And this is one more step. We've had more than one elected official wanting to engage us with legal representation. And we approved a singular payment for our sheriff because he felt he needed to protect his people, and we agreed with that one expenditure. But going forward, there's really no upside for anyone to within this organization to want to sue the county commissioners or the county or the people. And so what we're trying to do with this resolution, and I'll let her speak to this, I just wanted to set the table on it, is rightly or wrongly, the Board of County Commissioners' main responsibility is to be the budget officers of this organization. And that can only be through these three people and our staff having the ability to make judgment decisions on how our team of members, both electeds and appointeds and staff, spend taxpayer dollars. Since we are the budget officers and have done a tremendous amount of work in paring the budget so we're not deficit spending, we're very cognizant of where our monies are available and where they are not. And I think the basic statement of this resolution is that we must work together. We will work together. We don't have any choice. So in lieu of getting lawyers involved when no one communicates after that, we are trying to make it clear and known at the beginning of the year that if we get into a crossways situation with any of our electeds, appointeds, or staff, we've had it from advisory boards now, we are the ultimate authority of who gets paid, and we authorize legal representation. And I believe this is a device to put that into formality and to give us the opportunity to make those decisions, yes or no. Other comments?
Yeah, we worked so hard to try to get the budget to the point where we were in the black. And that one of those was hard decisions on arriving at a price for legal services for 2026 that we thought were manageable and realistic for the county without funding additional expenses to where we're paying twice. And I think that this is good policy because it forces us to sit at the table and have a conversation and try to work out the problem because if you don't, the only ones that win are the attorneys because they make their bank no matter what. And so I think that this is a way to keep the lid on. We watched over the last couple of years some pretty big runaway legal expenses that were of big concern and to the point where we were looking at having to start cutting things to be able to cover legal expenses that have happened, and we learned of them after the fact, which is a really bad way to run government and any business as well. So I think that this is – it's mindful. It's fair. It will, I think, make us better because if there's something going on, let's just get in a room and work it out because that's what – this big Park County government family should do to make sure that we're all trying to do the right thing. And we are, I think everybody who serves Park County and the government is a reasonable person. And I think that we can all sit down and come to good decisions. And that's why I support this.
I want to say I appreciate the words of that and how you frame that with the being able to work together. The truth is, on my side of things, when it comes to policies allow us the ability to know how to operate, how things are supposed to operate. And clearly, I will state to you, as I am just over my first year involved and seeing some of the things that were expenditured on council that necessarily didn't need that expenditure when it came to evaluating every single document, even though that document's been in act for a lot of years, and what that cost us. Very, very a lot of expenditures on that. I believe that this is a policy that I believe I can definitely get behind and support for sure.
Okay, that's our comments and preamble to consideration. Yes, you may. You may.
So do you have that in your hands? Okay.
We just shared.
I move that we approve the resolution clarifying and limiting the use of county funds for legal representation of elected officials.
Proper motion.
I'll second that.
Proper second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. This would be 008. Okay. We are to public comment. I see your hand.
Before we go into public comment.
Yeah, do you want to come up? Assessor Jones?
I would just caution the commissioners on this last resolution that you just did. I, as an elected official under 20-1-105, I can get the opinion from the DA's office regarding a problem that I'm having or problems that I'm seeing. And I have already reached out to the DA's office on this. And although he does not have the expertise to do that, he has advised me that I should seek legal counsel. And I have that letter for you to be able to email to you from him. So I'm just cautioning, as I do have the right to do that, and I do have the right to have to get an attorney, and it isn't out of my budget that it comes from. It does come from the general fund. So just having it on the table.
My comment to you would be, you're correct. The statutory advisory for elected officials is the district attorney by law. So when I've had troubles when I was on the other side of this counter, I would go visit the district attorney, and the district attorney would nicely tell me, I can't help you. And that's generally what they will tell you. But that is the statutory process, to go to the district attorney first. And we're not, I don't think any of us is saying that we're not going to enable legal representation. It's just not going to be ad hoc legal representation. We need to have our skin in the game for when we authorize that and when we don't. And so that's what this is to clarify. When you need legal representation and we concur with that, you will have it.
And I will be able to, I will be sending you the copy of the letter. I'll send it to Lucas, just so you know that I will reach out to legal counsel on my issues that I'm having at this point in time.
Fair enough.
Understandable. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Other public comment. Okay. We have two hands up. Stan Bates, I will ask you to unmute.
Welcome, Stan. You're unmuted.
Whoops.
Is he not unmuted?
Where'd he go? Oh, it looks like you're unmuted, Stan. Why don't you check your microphone?
I've lost him completely off the screen.
He's there, and it's unmuted, but we are not hearing him.
Yeah, I'm showing it unmuted on there. I just don't hear him talking.
So, Stan, you might want to check your computer settings. While you're doing that, let's go to Dave Santo, and then we'll come back to you, Stan. Dave, I'll ask you to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Welcome.
Hi, this is Dave Santo. I live in Grant. I have a comment about the Colorado Public Utilities Commission Clean Heat Greenhouse Gas Emission Reduction Target Resolution that was approved today. As an aside, I would have made these comments last week before your vote today, but this is the first opportunity for public comment on this topic. The decision by PUC was published on December 1st and required by state law. It affects exactly three publicly traded natural gas energy supply companies, Atmos, Black Hills, and Xcel. According to these companies' websites, they supply exactly zero natural gas customers in Park County. I'll reiterate, the PUC action was required by state law, addresses only the 2035 methane reduction target, not home electrification, and affects zero Park County residents. Why do you believe this rule should be addressed by Park County elected officials? Is there literally nothing more pressing that could be moved up the list and given attention? For example, the budget approved last month removed currently vacant positions, and the assessor's office has a budget for contractual services that was cut by 95%. Have you communicated to county citizens how this approved budget will affect county services this year? Are you trying to fix those issues? It doesn't appear so. We need local government officials and services that are responsive to local citizen needs. We do not need performative resolutions that serve no real purpose. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, sir.
All right. We're going to go back to Stan and see if he has figured out how to unmute. Stan, I'm asking you to unmute.
Okay, how do you hear now?
You are on.
Hi, this is Stan Bates, and I represent the HOA from Juan Crest Estates. May I have 5 minutes, please?
You are on the timer, sir. I'll give you 5 minutes.
Thank you. I appreciate your understanding with my technical difficulties. I would like to address and thank you for choosing to make the decision you just made regarding the taxes on the ASCAG property. From our viewpoint, we don't see it proper or common sense to receive a tax benefit when the land that is being asked for a tax benefit happens to have some cows on it, but also is being used illegally to run a trash septic facility. So that's I appreciate you calling that out and requiring proper documentation. Violation of ag property or ag classification is really a detriment to the community. Tax benefit is so that that farmer can benefit. It's not to benefit one that wants to abuse the land and abuse the property. So I think he needs to be, or ASCAG needs to be held accountable for running commercial heavy industrial on ag classified land. He lacks a lot of the photos that are required for documentation, but we, the community, have all the photos and all the videos documenting that he cleared the land in 2024, which he's trying to claim that, you know, he had ag land. Well, he was clearing it for his operation, which was illegal. So, yes, some of his cows escaped to our property. They escaped to wild properties. So he has a hard time being a rancher controlling his own cows. I find it waste, fraud, and abuse when people do this, that claim one thing but then abuse on the other side. So thank you for making the decision that you did. I also find it interesting that Park County is lacking funds. Yes, part of it is because, you know, spending things, but the other part is receiving money back in. And ASCAG has been fined and should have been fined for over 2 years, receiving a lot of extra money for Park County to use. And unfortunately, those fines were never followed through. And he never received, or you never received, proper money to the coffers based on his abuse of the land. So I really encourage you to follow through with the law, to tax him appropriately. And also, I don't know if his land at the top, the 58 acres, is taxed appropriately. So I would ask for a review on that and when it actually went back to residential, according to the judge. So thank you for the decision today. We know that you'll continue to pursue this, and we appreciate the time to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Joe Wiedner, I will ask you to unmute.
Yes, Joe Widener, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, welcome. 3 minutes.
Yes, I want to start. My name is Joe Widener, and I am an elected official of Willow List Water District, and I agree with Stan's assessment exactly. I just want to start off by saying that what they've been doing up on that hill, which we see every morning, every evening, all day, from hearing of garbage cans clanking, is commercial use up there. And I thought it was residential. And I guess I'm a little unclear, but, you know, I have to lean to the expertise of Commissioner Whistle, you know, as being the tax assessor before, that how can you get a tax exemption for ag on property that was zoned residential? I might have my numbers off, but with that being said, I want to applaud the commissioners, too, specifically for making the right decision, and we really appreciate it. Moving forward, I've had a hard time reaching the county. I work for a company in the aerospace defense industry, and we are looking to hire veterans. And if you guys could help me out getting in contact with the county official, or we have 15 open positions right now, and we'd love to hire veterans, even though the job is in Jefferson County, we're looking for Park County people. So thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We welcome your comments.
All right. S. Esmond, I will ask you to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Hi, it's Susan Esmond. I was just curious if that last resolution that was passed regarding legal counsel was on the agenda, as I looked on the latest posted agenda for today and did not see that it was on there on the website.
This is County Manager Lucas Meyer. The agenda was adjusted at the beginning of the meeting. As when the commissioners were accepting, holding the vote to accept the agenda as written.
But don't items need to be placed on the agenda and publicly posted 24 hours before the meeting per statute?
It was on the work session this morning, this afternoon. And so it was posted, and then the agenda adjusted to include it.
The work session items can be changed up until the point of the work session. This is my understanding, per statute, work session items can be changed right up to the point of the meeting per the discretion of the commissioners, but agenda items need to be, again, 24 hours ahead of time, publicly posted.
We generally don't do dialogue, and this is a specific question to a specific question that I'm not sure we have an answer to, but we will get you an answer in the near future. I'm not aware. Okay. I thought it was on the agenda as listed, but I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. No, I appreciate you taking the question. Thank you.
We will get you an answer, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
We have one more hand. That's Ms. Merriman. Kimberly, ask you to unmute.
Hi, everyone. How are you? Thanks so much for taking me off mute. I just to the previous comment, I know for our board meetings, we can make adjustments and motions in real time to change and amend our agenda if we need to. So I'm not sure if the BOCC can do that, but I know we do that for our board meetings, the per statute. For the decision made by the commissioners regarding the abatement, I also support what Stan Bates said and what Joe Widener said. I, too, am an elected official here and president of Will-O-Wisp, and not only did the cattle get out from those lands, but they actually came into my yard. So I would say in many, many ways that land, you know, whether it's operating properly, there is commercial use. We have sent a tremendous amount of footage and pictures of heavy industrial usage on the parcel, moving things off the 58 acres onto the 184 acres, but also the cattle has gotten out, right? So there have been issues. I have photos of that. showing it on my yard, showing Mr. Shirley on a motorcycle trying to come down onto WOW lands to collect those cattle as well, with one of his cowboys who was on horse and Mr. Shirley was not. So just, I think the commissioners made the right decision. I know it'll move forward to the assessors, to them to have to go through all this, but I also agree the assessor made the right decision as well. The lease is one thing, but not having photo proof, and it is a responsibility of the landowners to follow the regulations and rules to submit properly and timely for all of their classification needs. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other public comment? Ooh, we have an echo. That was a great sound effect. That was a new one.
Your mic was off.
My mic was on, but my computer was off. So.
So.
Okay, so we're to the point of public comment. Stan, you have your hand up. Is it you or is it Susie, or are you trying to come back again, Stan?
It's Susie. You're getting
Susie.
Figured out now.
We
My name is
Commissioner
Susie
Mitchell felt your vibe, so you have 3 minutes with us.
Yeah, I had a little wonky sound there, I guess. I don't know why. I, too, wanted to say thank you for doing the right thing, for listening and evaluating carefully, because we had sent that letter in regarding our concerns on this property back in the early part of January, and I appreciate that it was on the agenda and understanding that today. I, too, agree with Kim Merriman as far as the cattle. Those cattle have been out at the limited time that he did ever have them out there, but as soon as that property below Park Avenue and between Will-O-The-Wisp, 270 Silver Springs, got pushed into ag zone, immediately he started clearing boulders and destroying all of the land below us. And that is continuing to this day. So in the last several days, we have had enormous amounts of dump trucks filled with dirt going up Askag Road and going down Wancrest Road. So I am letting you know there's a noise ordinance complaint, and very much I'm asking for this to be on record to get investigated as to what is happening, because that property is supposed to not be used on Askag Road per court order January 2025. And there is enormous amount of slash piles up there that are huge. There's diesel containers down there. There's a campfire song that I've talked to you about before. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. It's a beautiful song for faith-based people especially. It's not reality that we want to see in our residential communities lined up all around here. With that slash pile, and I've asked the sheriff to look into that, I've asked you guys this at the special meeting, that is still not being done. I'm being told that code enforcement gets blocked from Askag going up there. This is unacceptable, and your code enforcement department, there's something not right. Things go into the black hole. Community members are not wanting to send in complaints because it doesn't go anywhere. And there's an apathetic feeling. And there's no response back. So we need to have that code enforcement department evaluated and looked at of who and how and what they're doing their job. Because there's many things that have been happening on that property and the other parcels that we've talked about that need to be looked into. So I appreciate you continuing to listen to the community, the concerned citizens, but those dump trucks here the last several days are hugely concerning, going up both Askag Road and 270 Silver Springs and down Wancrest to Riefel Ranch and Adam Shirley's property down there that supposedly he's living on. We don't know. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other comments?
I move we close public comment.
A promotion. I'll second it to put it on the table. Any further discussion to close public comment? Call the question. Those in favor vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. That motion carries 3-0. Ready to
I move we adjourn.
Proper motion.
I'll second it.
4:55 p.m. Call the question. Those in favor of voting for adjournment, vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. We are off the record at 4:55 a.m. I wish we were. Do we have any other administrative matters we need to